So today's daf is daf samach, and we are still dealing with the issues of yeinesech, wine that a non-Jew might stir, that then it's prohibited in benefit, or a non-Jew touches, then you can't drink, but you could get benefit. So today's first discussion is about a non-Jew who put his finger where the faucet went. So let's start again on Nun Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. There was a barrel of wine, the Ishtaka Lubraza, and the faucet broke off. So, Us Ovid Kochavim, a Gentile came, Idri, and he jumped. Then, when he jumped, because he saw the wine's about to spill out, Anach Yad Ilave, he put his hand where that faucet should have gone. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, okay, so he's putting his finger there, like the finger in the dike. So he's putting his finger where the faucet went. So Rav Papa said like this, called Lahade Braza, that area right where the faucet was, now where his finger is, behind that where the wine is, Chamra Asir, that wine is prohibited. V'idach, but the other wine, the wine by the sides of where the faucet was, the sides of where he's touching, Shari, that is allowed, because apparently he's of the opinion that side by side, a liquid is not considered attached. Not considered one item, so the fact that he's touching this wine is not a sign that he's touching the wines next to it. However, Yikadami, another version was Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Adabar Zachamra. All the wine until the faucet is prohibited, because not only the wine that he's touching where the faucet was, but all the wine above that also is prohibited, because since all that wine is going to drain through this hole, that's all considered one big attachment. The idach shari, but other wine, the wine beneath the faucet, is permitted because that's not necessarily going to come out through this hole, and that's he's not touching that wine. Amar Rav Yemar, Rav Yemar said kitanoi. This version that the first version that we said that according to Rav Papa, what he's touching, the wine opposite of what he's touching is prohibited, but the wine side by side to what he's touching is permissive, is allowed. That's really a dispute amongst the Tanaim. The dispute amongst the Tanaim is in the following Mishnah. It's in Tvul Yom. Chavis, if you have a barrel of wine, shenikva, and then it gets punctured, bein mipia, whether it's punctured at the top by its opening, bein mishuleh, or punctured on the bottom by its base, uvein mitzideh, or punctured on the side, v'naga bo tvul yom, and then a person who is impure touches it, tmeya, the entire barrel is tamei. So, if the hole is on the top and the person touches, the whole thing is tamei, because what he touches becomes tamei, then everything else is a base for what he touched, so everything else becomes part of what he touched. If on the bottom there was a hole and he touched over there, then what he touched became tameh, everything else is going to drain through there. So that all becomes tameh. And even if the hole is on the side, and he touches on the side, next to the sides also is considered attached, and it becomes tameh. So that is against Rav Papa, because Rav Papa, one version or another, is permitting something. He's either permitting the things side by side, or he's permitting the things on the bottom. So that's against Rav Papa. Rav Yehuda though says, Mipio Mishulea, if he touched, if there's a hole on the top and he touches the top, or there's a hole on the bottom and he touches the bottom, tamei, the whole thing becomes tamei on the top. If he touches it, the whole thing becomes tamei because it's all a base for the top. If on the bottom there's a hole and he touches it, the whole thing becomes tamei because, you know, everything's going to drain out through there. However, mitzideh, if there's a hole in the middle and the side, tohor mikan mikan, it's tohor on the sides, on this side and on that side of where the hole is. There's a hole in the middle, that where he touched is tamei. But side by side of what he touched is tar. So that view of Rav Yehuda, that's the view of Rav Papa. But as Rashi points out, when you have a one view, Rav Yehuda versus the sages, the majority view, who's halacha like? Halacha's like the majority. So that means that Rav Papa ultimately is not accepted.
Rabbi, surgical gloves wouldn't help?
So surgical gloves don't help you?
No. Touch is touch. That's it.
Touch is touch.
But you can't, once it's liquid, you can't still
distinguish between where you touch versus next to it, you mean? I guess if you're grabbing people's hands and going in quickly the way they were. Well, we're going to see in a second. If the container is packed with wine, maybe you could. If there's space and there things are sloshing around, then you can't. But if it's totally full, then you know.
He's trying to save you money.
Yeah, well, if he touches the wine, then it becomes a problem. That's right. Okay, so that was the first case. Yeah.
Does this apply to wine for everyday use by an individual, or wine that's coming to Beit HaMikdash?
No, everyday use.
Everything. So we don't have a differentiation.
There is a differentiation that the Beit HaMikdash is even stricter. In the Beit HaMikdash, even things that may not have become prohibited as idolatrous for whatever the technical reason, still would be disqualified in the Beit HaMikdash. Because in the Beit HaMikdash, you have to bring the best. For a mitzvah, you have to use the best.
If you hire your own people, you don't have to worry.
That's true. Hire Jews.
Yeah, but they were illegal. They were cheaper.
All right, so we are here on Samach Amid Aleph, about 6 lines down. So now we get into the issue of pouring again. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Oved kochavim adana. Let's say the non-Jew is tilting the barrel to pour out. The Yisrael akuva. And the Jew is holding the small jug to get the wine poured from the barrel. Chamra aser. The wine becomes prohibited. Even though he's not touching it, correct. It's my time, why? Kikasi, when the wine comes into the jug, mikoach oved kochavim kaasi, it's coming from the force of the non-Jew. The non-Jew is propelling it. And since the non-Jew is propelling it, he's putting it into motion, that's already prohibited. But if it's the other way, Yisrael Adana, the Jew's holding the barrel, and he's tilting it, v'ovikochav makuva, the non-Jew is holding the jug, cham rashari, the wine is still permitted. However, v'imitzadid tzedudi, but if the Jew is... if the non-Jew, v'imitzadid tzedudi, if the non-Jew is tilting the barrel to the jug that he's holding, then it's not allowed, because then he's causing the wine to spill out, and then it's not allowed. So Rashi says here, that he thinks the reason why there is this prohibition is based on what we saw earlier. We saw earlier that the wine that a non-Jew dilutes is prohibited. Not that that's the basic law of Gentile touched or Gentile stirred wine, but it's the concept that if we saw a Nazir coming close to a vineyard, we tell him walk around it, don't walk through it, because you're a Nazir. You have to stay away from grapes and wine. So the same thing is true here, that this tilting the barrel could lead to actually drinking what's actually touched or what's actually diluted. So it's really sort of a fence to keep him from drinking that which is touched. Even that which is only propelled, that which is moved by the non-Jew, is also prohibited. Okay, Amar Rav Papa. Now Rav Papa said, we're up to concept number 3 of today's daf. Hi, Ovid Kochavim, this non-Jew, Didari Zika, who's carrying a leather flask, a leather pouch that's filled with wine. The Ka'azal Yisrael Achore, and there's a Jew walking behind him to make sure he doesn't actually get his hand into the wine. So Mal Yashari, if the pouch is fully full with wine, it's permitted. Lo Makarkish, because that wine is not going to be stirred. If it's full, you can't really stir it because it's full. There's no space for it to go. However, Lo Makark, but Chaseira, if the pouch has some empty space and now the wine can move back and forth, even though the Jew was following the non-Jew and he never saw the non-Jew put his hand into this pouch, it's aser, it's still not allowed, Dilma Makarkesh, because we're worried that the non-Jew might have stirred it. Now, Kuva, if the non-Jew is carrying a little jug, then it's the opposite. Malya aser, if the jug is full, it's not allowed. Dilma Naga, because maybe when he put his hand on the edge of the jug, he touched the wine. But Chaseira, but if the jug is not full and you've been following the non-Jew to see that he's not touching, Shari, the wine is allowed that he's carrying in the jug, Dilma Naga, because he certainly didn't touch it. Let's just finish. Ravashi said, Zika, if the non-Jew is carrying a leather flask with wine, he thinks not. Both when it's full and when it has some empty space in it, it's still permitted. My time, I ain't there. It's not the way of idolatry to be, you know, shaking it around in a jug that in a leather flask that's only partially full, and therefore it does not prohibit it. Yeah, now Baruch, a question.
Now, if the pouch is full, he has to tighten it up and he's walking. Otherwise, everything's going to spill out.
It's closed. Assuming that it's closed. That's so right.
How could he stick his finger in there or his hand in the pouch?
That's the point. That's right. That's why it's permitted according to the first opinion.
Okay. Even if he touches the pouch, it's still...
That's not touching it.
So, what is talking about half or full and half?
So, that's a good question. But maybe the answer is that if it's half... Since there's space, so then when he pushes his finger in...
It still is gross.
Yeah, but because there's space, maybe, by pushing the finger on the leather already, that could be considered stirring it.
So it moves the actual outside of the...
But then he's moving the liquid. That could be considered stirring.
Oh, that moving. That causes the movement.
Why is that allowed with the jug?
Because the jug is an earthenware utensil. No, because if he's not putting his hand in,
indenting it.
It's not indenting, it's not soft.
It's
not the same thing.
The commentary says if he shakes, he wouldn't shake it because of its spill. Oh, no, because the Jew is watching it.
So and the Jew's watching that he didn't shake. That's right. Okay, next case. So we saw earlier, about 5 days ago, that initially the rabbis had allowed a Jew to purchase semi-crushed grapes from a non-Jew. They said if a non-Jew is stepping on grapes, it doesn't become prohibited because it only becomes prohibited once the liquid is in the cistern. But that was only the Mishnah Rishona. Then the Mishnah Achrona changed it. And the Mishnah Achrona said that once it begins spilling, that's already considered wine, and if the non-Jew steps on it, it's a problem. So that's the way our Gemara follows, this Mishnah Achrona. So now, if you have a non-Jew, Matzarta Zaira, if you have a press where instead of pressing the grapes by stepping on them, they're pressing the grapes with a bead. So Rav Papa Shairi, Papa allows the juice that comes out of grapes that the non-Jew, wields the beam to press them. And Rav Ashi, Vitim Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Aser. Whereas Rav Ashi, sometimes Rav Simi Bar Ashi, say, now this juice is prohibited. Now, the Gemara explains, Kocho, if it's the force of the non-Jew that's making the juice come out, so just like we saw that the force of a non-Jew spilling wine, this would also be a problem. So let's say if the non-Jew got on the beams and then he by his sitting on the beams went down and crushed the grapes. That juice would be prohibited. Kuli amalo pligi to us. Everybody would agree that that's not allowed. Ki pligi, what's the argument here between Rav Papi and Rav Ashi? Bekoach kocho, the grapes are being crushed by wood, by a beam, but the non-Jew is not sitting on the beam. The non-Jew is turning a wheel, and the wheel is turning the beam. So the beam is a force of his force. Is that prohibited or not? That's the argument. Ikadamri, another version is koach kocho, if the non-Jew is turning the wheel, which is turning the beam, which is crushing the grapes. Kuliyama lo pligi deshari. They'd all agree that that is allowed. Ki pligi. No, maybe the argument is bekocho. If he actually takes the beam, he sits on the beam, and it's his force that's making the beam crush the grapes. And maybe that's the argument, whether that's prohibited or not. Maybe indirect is certainly allowed, and the question is about direct. Hava uvda b'koach kocho. There was, in fact, such a story with the indirect. Vaser Rabbi Yaakov minahar pekod. And Rabbi Yaakov said, not only is kocho not allowed, even koach kocho is not allowed. And even the indirect, let's say pulling, you know, turning the wheel, which turns the beam, which crushes the grapes, would make the grape juice prohibited.
How about we have more halacha for l'chaim than
true, it's also very complicated.
How are you reading the press, Rabbi? It requires
you don't mind, you don't listen.
Right.
Okay, no matter what.
Correct.
You have to turn that lever in order for the press to move down.
Good.
All right? So it is bekocho.
No, it's indirect. It doesn't appear as direct as sitting on the wood, which is on top of the grapes.
No, there's a screw there that
correct.
He is turning, and the thing goes down.
Right.
Okay.
But there's a difference. When his hands are directly on the lever, then the lever is on the wood, which makes the wood go down. So that's from his kocho is on the. The lever. The lever's koach is on the wood, and then the wood is on the grapes. Yes. Directly. That's right. That would be more. That's more.
Had they made the laws like the Nazir, don't go close to the grapes?
Well, they do that also, right? They do say many times. They say when it comes to diluting or cocoa, you know, stay away. Absolutely.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. In 7 years from today, Baruch, you don't listen to me, I listen to you. In the next 7 years, when we live like this again, Be'ezrat Hashem, we put wine next to Baruch. He'll enjoy the shiur more.
All right. So the bottom here of Samach Amud Aleph. Hahu Chavisa. There was a story with a barrel of wine. Now turning to Samach Amud Beis. D'ifka'a. It shattered. Le'orka. To its length. So, right, imagine this is the barrel, and it got a crack like this. So, Idriyahu Ovid Kochavim. So, this Gentile jumped, Chavka, and he hugged the barrel to keep it together so that it not separate and all the wine spill. So, is that considered touching it? Is that considered moving it? So, Sharye Rafram Bar Papa. Rafram Bar Papa permitted the wine. Itaim, if you want, some say it wasn't Rafam Bar Papa, it was Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua. Lizabuni lo v'kochav. He said that that's a situation of touch, so you can't drink it, but it's not a situation of shaking up the wine, and therefore you can sell it to a non-Jew. You're allowed to get benefit, you just can't
drink it.
Okay. Says the Gemara. Bahani mili. Now this would only be true that you couldn't drink it. Depaka la orka, that the crack was down along the length. Avala putya. But if the crack would have been to the width like this, or then and he's holding down the two pieces, afilu bishtia shari, you'd even be allowed to drink the wine. My time, because when he's holding the top piece down on the bottom. My salivena ka'avid, the two pieces of the barrel are really on top of each other. He's just weighing them down. He's not really touching the wine. He's just a cinder block to keep the pieces of barrel close to each other. And that's not considered that he's literally holding the wine. Therefore, the wine would even be permissible to be drunk. But if it's a crack down to the length, it's going to separate. He's pulling it together. So him pulling it together That is considered an act of touching the wine, and then the wine cannot be drunk.
What's the distinction? Why isn't it considered pushing it together?
Because it's not. Because on its own, it wouldn't separate. When you have a crack down the length, if he's not there, it's going to fall apart. But if you have a crack around the width, the top is going to stay there. It's not going to necessarily fall apart.
But it could be leaking out.
No? Okay, but the maybe not. Maybe it depends on the crack. Right. Or it depends how bad the crack is.
But when they say the wine cannot be profited from, can they turn it into vinegar and use it?
No.
Nothing?
No profit. That's
right.
That's
it.
Uh-huh. Does it have to do with the way the barrel is constructed?
Yes.
If it's built from...
they didn't use wood barrels. They didn't use wood. They didn't use wood barrels. They used earthenware. They used earthenware. The barrels were made of earthenware. They were not made of wood.
They were made of
earthenware.
Yeah, of clay.
That's right.
I'm a modern guy.
So now the next story. Hahu Omikochavim. There was a Gentile. That he was standing in the wine press of a Jew. And now the question is, you know, maybe some of the wine on the floor of the wine press has gotten prohibited because he touched it. So I'm Ravashi. Ravashi like this. Im i'ika tofeach latfiach. If there's enough moisture down there that were a person to touch that moisture, if he would move his hand somewhere else, that other thing would also get wet. Then bayadacha, you have to wash off this wine press with water. Ubay niguv, and then you need to dry it out with dirt. V'ilo, but if there's not enough moisture down there, bayadacha ba'al masagiluhu, all you need to do is just wash it out with water. You don't need to also dry it out with dirt. Okay, the next Mishnah is going to continue with the issues of Gentile-touched wine. And we now deal with the question of a person in a house who might have a right to the wine. So we'll see. Ovid kochavim shenimtza omed bitzad habor shel yain. Let's say the non-Jew is in a Jewish house, standing next to the cistern of wine of the Jew. And we just don't know if the non-Jew touched it or not. If this non-Jew has a loan that he has extended to the Jew, and the wine, as we'll see in the Gemara, is the guarantee for the loan, then usher, you can't get any benefit from the wine. Because we suspect that if the non-Jew is there, he may have touched the wine. You say, wait a second, it's not his wine. Why would he presume to be able to touch it? Well, he has a connection to it, because he has a loan with the wine guaranteeing the loan. So he's going to say to himself, you know, I'm going to touch the wine. I'll, you know, do my, I will indulge my lust of pouring the wine to my idol. And if the Jew gives me a hard time, I'll say, okay, so don't give me back your money. Now I've got don't give me back the money you owe me. I'm going to have the wine in its place, and now I'm entitled to the wine. However, ein lo milva alav, if the non-Jew does not have a loan that he extended to the Jew, then the wine is mutter. The wine is permissible to be drunk. Because since it's not his, he's afraid to go touch the wine. He's going to look like a thief. He's going to ruin his reputation. So therefore, even though he's standing in the Jewish house, the wine is permitted. All right, that's case number one. Case number two. A non-Jew nafalabor. A non-Jew falls into the pit that's filled with wine. Va'ala, and then he comes out of it. Oh, medada bakana. He put a reed into this pit in order to measure how much wine is in, let's say, a barrel. Let's say there is a wasp on top of the barrel, and he takes a stick to kill the wasp, and he splashes the wine with his stick. Let's say there's a barrel with bubbles, it's boiling up a little bit, and he puts his hand on it to pat it down. So all these different things actually happened. They came in front of the sages, is our wine ruined? And they said, listen, it's not considered worship. It wasn't sichsuch. He didn't stir it for Avodah Zarah. He didn't pour it for Avodah Zarah, but he did touch it. So therefore, you can't drink, but you can get benefit. Imacher, you can sell it to a non-Jew, but you cannot actually drink it. However, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion in these cases where there was just touch without sichsuch, matir, you're even allowed to drink it. He permits entirely. Okay, 1 second. Case number three, natal esachadis. If the non-Jew takes a barrel, v'sarko b'chamasol labor, and in his anger, he throws a barrel into a cistern of wine. Zehaya maisa, this also once happened. They brought it to the sages, v'ichshiru, and they permitted the wine to be drunk. The throwing of an item into the wine would not prohibit the wine. Yeah, question?
I question the ability to sell it to a non-Jew, because when you sell it to a non-Jew, you're selling it, you know he's going to use it for his idol.
Interesting. So I guess when you know he's not going to use it for his idols.
Everything here, we assume everything he does this. It's
worth very religious.
Good true. Question.
And now you permit right. to sell him for his
No, he's not selling.
Maybe you find a non-Jew who's not an idol worshiper. Maybe but you find a doesn't say that right. It's a good question. Maybe you have to find like a ger toshav. A ger toshav is not an idol worshiper. According to the Rambam, the Muslims are not idol worshippers. You can sell to the Muslims, but they don't like wine anyway, right?
No, they do like.
Oh,
it's not when the cameras are on. Not when everyone's looking.
The middle name. The name is wine. Hossein Wine Muhammad.
Obama.
Okay, so that was the Mishnah. So let's start. The Mishnah dealt with three cases. The first case is a non-Jew standing in a Jew's home, but the non-Jew has given a loan to this Jew, and the Jew has made as the guarantee of the loan the cistern of wine. So even though the non-Jew is standing in the Jew's home, we're worried that the non-Jew touched the wine. So Amar Shmuel explained, "Vushiyesh lo milva al oso yain." It's where the non-Jew has a loan for that wine. Not that in general he has a loan to the Jew, but that the Jew has given that wine as the guarantee. Amar Rav Ashi said, Masnisa Nami Deka. That's also clearly from the Mishnah. That's not, because we're going to learn the next Mishnah. Hamitar Yeno Shalovit Kochavim. A Jew who's trying to make kosher wine for a non-Jew. So he has grapes of a non-Jew, and he's trying to press them himself and sell them to a Jew to make sure that they're all kosher. He hasn't yet paid the non-Jew for the grapes that he's taking. So, says the Mishnah there, the no snow birshuso, if the Jew stepped on the grapes of the non-Jew, and then he puts this juice in a barrel, and he puts the barrel in the home of the non-Jew, v'alo kosev lo, and the non-Jew writes in the document, his kabalti mimcha ma'os, all right, it's already as if you've paid me for the grapes, you can take the wine whenever you want. Then mutter, then the wine is permitted because since the non-Jew is not going to withhold that wine, it's already considered the Jew's stuff and it's Jewish wine. Avalim yirtze Yisrael, lohotzio, ve'en manicho achitin lo ma'osav. But if the non-Jew is saying, if you want its barrel back, you need to pay me first and I'm not going to give it to you until you pay me. That was the story in Beit Shan. V'asru, and the sages prohibited the wine because they said, what's the case? This is a case where the Jew owes something to the non-Jew, and what's guaranteeing what he owes is the wine. So then we're worried that the non-Jew is going to use it because he's going to feel entitled to it. So as the Gemara says, time ma'de'e manicho, in the case where the non-Jew is not letting the Jew take the wine, then without getting paid first, then the wine is prohibited. Ha'manicho shari. But if the non-Jew would allow him to take the wine, then it wouldn't be prohibited. Right? So even though there is a loan, but since he can go take it right away without worrying about the non-Jew, the non-Jew is not going to touch it. So Shmamina, so that's exactly the point that we're trying to make from our Mishnah. Milval oso yayin ba'inan. If there's a loan for this wine, then the non-Jew might feel entitled and he might touch the wine and the wine's prohibited. But if the loan is in general, not for this wine, the non-Jew's not going to feel entitled. He knows that the Jew is the one who has the rights to the wine. He's got no right to touch the wine. And Shmamina, that's a good proof to explain the Mishnah in that way.
Rabbi, where's the wine? Is it in the possession of the, is it in the Gentile storehouse or in the Jew's?
We're comparing two cases. A case where the wine is in a Jew's home, but a non-Jew is there. Or wine that is going to belong to this Jew, that was the deal, but he hasn't yet paid for it, and it's currently in the Gentile's home.
But they're giving the okay to drink it.
What's the question, Farah?
In both cases, the wine is as a collateral for the loan.
Very good. If wine is collateral for a loan, then the wine is prohibited. Very good. So now, next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if the non-Jew falls into a cistern of wine, nafalabor, va'al, and he comes out of the cistern. So the sages say, you can sell the wine, you're allowed to get benefit. Rabbi Shimon says, you can even drink the wine. Rav Papa said, lo shanu elo sha'ala meis. We're talking about a case where the non-Jew fell into the wine, and he died in it, and he came out dead. Or, you know, he fainted, came out, you know, comatose. But if he falls into this pit of wine and he swims his way out, then us, you're not even allowed to get benefit, because when he's swimming, he still has his wits about him. When he has his wits about him and he's in the wine, as Roger pointed out, he's going to try to push it around for idolatry. My time, what's the reason when he comes out alive? Is the wine prohibited? Amar Rav Papa, Dam Yalek Yom Edom. He's going to consider this his big holiday. He fell into all this wine. He can push some for Avodah Zarah. So certainly, he's going to push some for Avodah Zarah. Also, the fact that he got out is going to make him so thankful. Oh, I got out. My life was saved. He's going to push something for Avodah Zarah.
Rabbi, I'm sorry about the previous one with the collateral. If it's a double wrapped bottles,
That helps. Then you're fine. So now, then the Mishnah says, Medado Bekana, let's say the non-Jew measures the wine by putting in a measuring stick. So this happened. They said, well, by the fact that he put his measuring stick in it, you can only get benefit, you can't drink. Sell it, and Rabbi Shimon permits you even to drink. Rabbi Shimon said, Yenuchlol Rabbi Shimon brachos al rosho. Rabbi Shimon deserves blessings. Kishu matir, when he permits wine that a non-Jew touches in some way or another, Matria filu b'shtia, he even allows you to drink it. Kishu oser, when he prohibits wine, oser afilu b'ana, he prohibits all the way. He says you can't even get benefit. Am Rabchia b'reid Rababa bar Nachmeni, Am Rabchizda Am Rav, it was said in the name of Rav. Some say Am Rabchizda Am Ra'ziri, some say it was Rabchizda in the name of Ziri. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, halacha's like Rabbi Shimon, that when a non-Jew merely touches, the wine is permitted to be drunk. Yikadami, another version. Rav Chizda Amar Li Abba Bar Chanan. Rav Chizda said in the name of Abba Bar Chanan, this is what Zeiri said to Abba Bar Chanan. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but says the Gemara, it's wrong. Ain halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu.